This is Pat, and I am reading today from the Clinton Journal for Friday, September the 26th. County Pulls Together Cyber Attack Plan by Gordon Woods of the Clinton Journal. Patrick Ryan, chairman of the county's IT Compliance Committee, reported his committee was working with Heart Technologies setting up a process for cyber incident response. Ryan's report came during the September 18th County Board meeting. There are three things that are needed, Ryan says: policies, procedures, and playbooks. Ryan said policies would limit vulnerability to cyber attacks, and they would help create a cybersecurity culture in the building. He's excited acceptable use policy, multi-factor authentication, and other such policies as being crucial to protect county information. There needs to be a procedure put in place that defines the cybersecurity champion, the incident response leader, the public information officer, and technical leader, Ryan said. The procedure that sets up the team would respond to an incident. The playbook would set out how the team would respond to a cyber incident. There are various categories for incidents, Ryan said. For example, email compromise, malware affecting business processes, ransomware, and there's a whole list of things. Ryan said he thought the committee would be able to do more with its level of knowledge, but it turned out we need the IT tech position filled to work with our technologies and to flesh all this out, he said. In additional business, board members approved a quote for $14,120 from Chase Environmental to handle the abandonment of the number 2 storage tank at the sheriff's office jail. The board also voted to upgrade the Veeder root system at the sheriff's office jail for $5,190. A Veeder root system is a special gauge, sensor, and computer system used to monitor above and below ground storage tanks. It monitors for any fuel leaks, water coming into the tanks, or fuel going out, said Property Committee Chairman Terry Ferguson. We are trying to update the system we've got. The board authorized up to $20,000 to Cohn Resnick to conduct the annual appraisal of Clinton Landfill. The bid came in under $20,000, but we felt as though we could go up to the $20,000 just in case, said Melanie Tilley, Finance Committee Chairman. The board also approved $11,535 for 6 new computers from Heart Technologies. To my understanding, we have 3 that are down, Tilley reported. She said the additional 3 computers were in case more were needed during the upgrade. We have one obituary this morning from Farmer City. Vicki Jo Ziegler, 73, of Farmer City, formerly of Clinton, passed away at 3:40 p.m. on September the 8th at 2025 at Carl Foundation Hospital in Urbana. Graveside services were conducted at 2 p.m. on Wednesday, September the 24th, 2025, at Memorial Park Cemetery, Clinton, with Pastor Emily Little officiating. The family entrusted Calvert Funeral Home of Clinton with arrangements. Memorials may be directed to the Farmer City United Methodist Church. Vicki was born May 23, 1952, in Clinton, the daughter of Wilbur and Hazel Galloway Ziegler. Survivors include her sister Joyce Todd, brother David, along with many nieces and nephews. She was preceded in death by her parents and 2 brothers, Richard and Ronald Ziegler. Vicki retired from Action Technology in Clinton. She and her mother then moved to Farmer City, where she became very active in the Farmer City United Methodist Church, the clothes closet of the church, as well as caring for her mother. Online condolences can be made at www.calvertmemorial.com. There is a free senior breakfast and bingo October the 29th. Calvert's is sponsoring a free adult 60-plus breakfast and bingo at the DeWitt County Friendship Center from 10 to 11 5:30 a.m. on Wednesday, October the 29th. Enjoy free bingo games, free food along with cash prizes and giveaways. Seats will be available on a first-come, first-served basis. Clinton Lake offering youth deer hunting October the 11th through the 13th. Springfield. Illinois youth are invited to hunt for the first time at Clinton Lake State Recreation Area in DeWitt during the Illinois Youth Firearm deer season October the 11th to October 13th. Clinton Lake requires youth to submit their name for a lottery drawing. The deadline is Friday, September the 12th. Interested hunters must send their contact information to Clinton Lake, SRA, 7251 Ranger Road, DeWitt, Illinois, 61735, or email dnr.clintonlake@illinois.gov. Only 13 hunters are allowed at Clinton SRA, and hunting is limited to the area between County Highway 14 and State Route 48. Youth deer firearm permits are available now at Illinois licensed vendors for $10. Limit one either sex deer hunt permit per person. Youth deer hunting during the youth firearm deer season is allowed in all Illinois counties except Cook, DuPage, Lake, and portions of Lake east of State Route 47. Youth with a deer hunting permit may hunt on property where permission has been granted by the property owner or an authorized Illinois Department of National Resources location. All youth hunters must have a current valid youth deer permit. In addition, youth hunters must have an apprentice or youth hunting license, or they must have completed a state-approved higher education course and have a hunting license unless exempt. Youth deer hunters, while using an apprentice hunter license or youth hunting license, must be accompanied by a non-hunting parent, guardian, or grandparent, 21 years of age or older, with an Illinois hunting license. All other hunters participating in the youth deer hunt must each be accompanied by a non-hunting supervisor, parent, guardian, or responsible adult who has a valid Illinois license or a firearm owner's identification card. Supervising adults may only accompany a single youth hunter at any given time. Visit the Illinois Youth Firearm Deer Hunting website for additional information regarding bag limits, ammunition requirements, and harvest reporting. Contact the Illinois Department of Natural Resources at 217-782-7305. That's 217-782-7305. The Church of Christ Blood Drive with Impact Life on Thursday, October the 9th. In Clinton, the Church of Christ will host a community blood drive with Impact Life, the provider of blood components for local hospitals. The blood drive will be conducted from 12 noon to 5 p.m. on Thursday, October 9th, at 5450 Evans Drive inside auditorium. Appointments to donate, please contact Stephen Brad at 217-935-5058. That's 217-935-5058. Or you may also call Impact Life at 800-747-5401. 800-747-5401. Donor eligibility criteria. Potential donors must be at least 17 years of age, 16 with parental permission form available, and weigh more than 110 pounds. A photo ID is required to donate. For questions about eligibility, please call Impact Life at 800-747-5401. Donors who last gave blood on or before August the 14th of 25 are eligible to give at this drive. Blood donation is a safe, simple procedure that takes about 45 minutes to 1 hour. Individuals with diabetes or controlled high blood pressure may be accepted as eligible donors. About Impact Life. Impact Life is a nonprofit community organization providing blood products and services to more than 100 hospitals and emergency medical services in Iowa, Illinois, Missouri, Wisconsin, as well as researchers and resource-sharing partners across the country. For more information on blood inventories, donor promotions, and more, see www.bloodcenter.org. Successful donors will get a choice of a $20 e-gift card with lots of redemption options, bonus points to reward store. The October feature is a ghoulishly cool t-shirt or a $20 donation to your favorite charity. And now from the op-ed page, from the desk of Billy McMacken, America must find its way back to unity. In my 35 years of community journalism, I've covered just about everything a local newspaper can bring to its readers. I've reported on triumphs, heartbreaks, bitter debates, and issues that stirred real passion in people. But through it all, there was always a sense that, when the dust settled, neighbors could still sit across from one another and find some way forward. Today feels different. I've never seen so much division in this country. Not just sharp disagreements, but a deep unwillingness for two sides to even try working together. And it's no longer enough for some people to make their case. Too often they want to silence or destroy the other side entirely. That is a dangerous path for America. Political violence has no place here. This is a nation built on ideas, debate, on balance and representation, not intimidation or fear. When differences of opinion cross the line into threats or bloodshed, we all lose. We are better than that. Whatever your politics may be, whether you lean right, left, somewhere in between, we are Americans first. We must rise above the toxic atmosphere that pits us against one another and return to what makes democracy work: listening, respect, and trying to understand. Unity doesn't mean we all agree on everything. It means we commit to solving problems together without tearing each other apart. I've seen communities find common ground before, even when the odds looked long. I believe we can do it again. The road back begins with each of us in our towns, our workplaces, our families. Listening and understanding must return if this country is to move forward, and I, for one, still believe they can. This week, the Clinton Journal is sampling the paper to every household in the Clinton zip codes. If you're holding this issue in your hands for the first time, I invite you to take a look what's inside: local news, community coverage, and stories you won't find anywhere else. And if you like what you see, we've made it easier than ever to subscribe with our special discounted offer. Local journalism is built on unity too. It brings people together, tells their story, and reminds us of the values we share as a community. Thank you for reading, and I hope you'll join us in supporting the journal. Billy McMacken is the owner of the Clinton Journal. And another op-ed piece, Pointing Fingers. This is On Point by Richard Koretz. The federal government faces a partial shutdown on September 30th unless Congress passes the budget bill or passes a CR, a continuing resolution. We should also note that Congress is in recess. The Republican House passed what is known as a clean continuing resolution, which is basically a bill that allows expenditures to continue as they are. The Senate, which requires a 60-vote majority to pass the bill, denied the House bill. The Senate Democrats then introduced their own bill, which added more funding. The bill failed to receive the 60-vote threshold along party lines. I was watching this debacle unfold while watching the evening news. My wife walks in and rolls her eyes. She pointedly stated, "All they're doing is pointing fingers and not talking." After 55 years of marriage, I hate to agree with my wife, but she is so right. The Democrats want this, the Republicans want that. The American public simply wants government to work for them. The Republicans are screaming that the Democrats are obstructionists and should go along with the majority Republicans. Dare I remind my Republican brethren that it wasn't long ago that the roles were reversed, with the Democrats calling Republican obstructionists for the exact same reasons. We have a constitutional democracy that was designed to force all parties to debate and compromise. Yes, the current Senate rules give some serious leverage to the minority party with a 60-vote threshold. But is that all bad? We could have the European models of parliamentary democracy where simple majority rules. Europe changes governments all the time and bills tend to be rushed through the chambers. Our system works quite well as long as there are adults in the elected offices. Unfortunately, we have too many egos in Congress. We live in rural America. The one budget bill that truly affects this area is the Farm Bill. Now the Farm Bill has other aspects that reflect more urban areas, but it is essentially addresses the agriculture concerns of the farming community. That bill has languished for months, and it appears to have its legs glued to the floor. It is a classic example of Congress not working for the greater good. I am personally not a big fan of term limits, and am inclined to let the people vote for whomever they want to vote for. The problem is that most congressmen and women today seem to believe they are entitled to their seats in Congress and forget who elected them. Our early congressional representatives and senators were all farmers or businessmen who made extra effort to go to Washington and conduct the people's business. Today, congressmen tend to be professional politicians who reside in Washington and its suburbs, who attend to the people's business when it suits them. You will note that these comments are totally bipartisan. The public needs to be far greater served than in what is occurring. And just as a side note from Richard, St. John the Baptist Catholic Church. Occasionally those of us who are Protestant persuasion need to venture into the Catholic Church. Ivy and I with our granddaughter did that this past Sunday after church for a fundraising luncheon served by the lunch. The pulled pork was great and our granddaughter liked everything. Good food and fellowship are always appreciated. My stomach is non-denominational and always ready to try out a church fundraising dinner. And, on to that, apple and pork. Enjoy the weekend at the Apple and Pork Festival. This event makes Clinton and DeWitt County known throughout central Illinois area. Richard Korex is an Illinois native attorney and former DeWitt County State's Attorney. And now from the columns page, a little bit more about the apple and pork. This is from 50 years ago. Dear Clinton, by Joe Mellon. Hello, Clinton. It's great to be back in central Illinois after 35 years away. I've been up here since February 2024, and after a few dumps and spills, I settled here in Clinton around June 2024. Laura and the other wonderful missionaries at the Neighborhood Care Center helped me, and I was able to get an apartment through the Housing Authority. The Facebook page, Clinton, Talk of the Town, has been a great source of information and help, both giving and receiving. This week's subject is the Apple and Pork Festival, which is taking place this weekend. I'd like to share with you my first visit, which took place 50 years ago in 1975. I am the poor old man on the north side throwing frisbees in the street and at my golf basket. 50 years ago, disc golf was simply people throwing frisbees at various targets or showcasing distance throws during the halftime of football. Back then, I was best friends with Randy. Our friendship started when he and I were in choir together and liked the color yellow. His mom invited me to join her family on a trip to Clinton on Saturday. Usually a nice crisp fall Saturday, my best friend and I would be throwing or kicking our football around his huge backyard, waiting for the Illini game, or making delicious iced tea with pure water from a well. We were very skeptical that a pig and apples thing would be worth our time. But his two younger sisters were excited, so we played along. The trip out there was a blast, with 89 WLS out of Chicago on the AM radio and fun highway games led by his mom. We slowed down as we approached Clinton, and I took a look around. It was your typical small town, I thought. Randy and I were mainly listening to the radio and discussing girls while his sisters talked about the outdoor scenes as we drove uptown. As the end of the highway approached, all four of us kids slammed our faces against the right side of the car. Doggone suds! The classic drive-in restaurant was right there in front of us like a Hollywood celebrity. We constantly saw their bright and inviting TV commercials, yet we didn't live near one. This time, we kids stared at the people, cars, and lights. It lasted maybe about 20 seconds, but oh, what a great memory. As we distanced ourselves from Dog and Suds, Randy's mom took a turn to the left, and our collective mouths fell to the floor of the car. It was like something out of a medieval movie. We looked down on an entire field of excitement. The first thing I remember seeing was a big pot of steamy pork and beans and the men stirring them. The girls screamed with excitement as they pointed to the live band, dancing, specialty shops and events, and oodles of food. That's what I remember Randy talking about, the food. It was like a mini version of the Illinois State Fair in Springfield, right there in Clinton. We drove past the entire festival and parked at the DeWitt County 4-H Fairgrounds. In an orderly fashion, we excitedly walked to the festival, dancing to the live band's music, watching local dance clubs showcase their talents, walking through the flea market and savoring the food. I was still a growing boy, and the highlight for me was getting and eating a fabulous lunch, feasting a big bowl of delicious pork and beans from those giant kettles. The incredible smell of that stuff was driving me crazy all morning. Well, it seemed that half a century since that fantastic festival, and I will be savoring the experience again this weekend. I've been getting responses from long-term locals that suggest they are not looking forward to the crowds, inconveniences, and lack of parking places. I always counter with something like, "Folks are coming to Clinton. Let's welcome them." As Mayor Michalessi recently said to looking to inspire volunteers, the Apple and Pork Festival is our time to shine, and that should be our collective mantra this weekend. And I, for one, am looking forward to being a more contributing member of our annual festival in the upcoming years, and to Clinton itself. National Preparedness Month recognized as severe weather events increase in number. Springfield. Just this year, Illinois has already seen 115 tornadoes touch down in the state, which is the highest number of twisters in the nation for 2025. On top of that, communities have faced repeated rounds of severe storms, unleashing destructive straight-line winds and flooding across the state. With September recognized as National Preparedness Month, the Illinois Emergency Management Agency and Office of Homeland Security is urging all residents to take this moment to review and strengthen their disaster preparedness plans. Severe weather can strike with little warning, and the best defense is being ready before it happens, Acting Director Theodore Berger said of the OHS. The National Preparedness Starts at Home campaign reminds us that we each have a role to play by mapping out a plan and reviewing insurance companies. Spending just a small amount of time on preparedness can save you significant costs and frustration when disaster strikes, said Berger. Something as simple as checking with your insurance agency about flood coverage can give you peace of mind. Too often, people don't discover a gap in insurance until it's too late. Illinois Emergency Management Agency and Office of Homeland Security can be found at ready.illinois.gov. Explore the impact of local trees at the Illinois Extension Fall Tree Planting Workshops. Urbana. Communities with healthy, viable trees are more likely to have improved air quality, reduced stress, and added personal comfort for surrounding residents, nature, and wildlife. As we all have recently felt, Midwest summers are hot, and trees are a crucial part of our urban infrastructure that helps relieve that, says Justin Vozo, Extension Forestry Specialist with Illinois Extension. Whether it be through evaporative cooling or providing shade trees in our communities provide much-needed resting and relief from summer rays. As seasons shift, make it a fall goal to learn about local urban forests and how to properly plant a tree with the help of the University of Illinois Extension experts. Two upcoming tree workshop and planting events are on October 18th in Urbana and November the 1st in Macomb. The day will allow participants to learn more about the trees in their local area, including how to properly plant a tree, identify local trees, and what makes up an urban forest. Teaching more people the skills to plant and care for a tree properly will help trees in communities across the state be healthy and thriving for a long time. There is no cost to attend the workshop and tree planting day. Snacks and refreshments will be provided. The event is part of Illinois Extension's Community Tree Care Series as it is open to all community members regardless of skill level or experience. Additional partners and location support include the Morton Arboretum, Chicago Trees Initiative, Urbana Park District, and City of Macomb. Find out more about the Tree Series and RSV to the workshop events at go.illinois.edu/treecareseries. For questions or if you need reasonable accommodation to participate in this program, contact Justin Vozo at 217-300-9750. That's 217-300-9750. Funding for this support for this project has provided by the Inflation Reduction Act through Urban and Community Forestry Programs of the Illinois Department of Natural Resources and the USDA Forest Service Eastern Region. This institution is an equal opportunity provider. And from the law enforcement news, Clinton Police Department arrests. On September 18, 2025, Clinton police arrested Laura L. Green, 61, of Clinton, for the offense of violation of stalking no contact order. Green was transported to the DeWitt County Jail, where she was turned over to corrections personnel for processing. On September 18, 2025, Clinton police arrested Jeffrey J. Blood, 37, of Clinton, for the offense of domestic battery. Blood was transported to the DeWitt County Jail, where he was turned over to corrections personnel for processing. The DeWitt County's Sheriff's Office, Eugene Neiswanger of Haythorpe, 75, was issued a citation for improper lane using. Neiswanger was released with no required court appearance. Eric Lamb of Decatur was issued citations for driving under the influence and speeding 35 miles over the posted limit. Lamb was released with required court appearances after incarceration. Raul Gonzalez, 56, of Florida, was issued a citation for speeding. Gonzalez was given a notice to appear and was released. All suspects are presumed innocent till found guilty in a court of law.